Thank you very much, Richie. Thank you very much, Lou. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I will be the net control operator tonight for this experiment. I call it a radio wake. We've done one before in memory of John Beck, KC2WGB, and it was well received, and people enjoyed the experience. As always, I tell people this is not an exercise in mourning the loss of a great man, although we all have. This is kind of rejoicing in his memory and of a well-spent life. So before I begin with this, Lou probably wants to tell me of a couple of the rules of how the repeater is going to work, something along the lines of it's still going to shut itself off, but it will then be turned back on in a minute. But, Lou, over to you, please.
Yeah, precisely. You got it. So that's the plan.
Okay, Doc, very well. So someone's going to get kind of trapped, I guess, at 12:04 during the shutdown for a minute. But keep in mind that hopefully we'll be back 1 minute later. The idea is that John and Dick many times would chat on this repeater into the wee small hours of the morning, only stopping at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to let the guys who do the early morning drive conversations onto the repeater. So in memory of those two and the long conversations they had through the night, I thought it would be a nice thing to give everyone a taste of that tonight. If people can keep themselves awake, we'll go for as long as people are interested in going for. I'm not going to take a roster. I'm going to kind of try to treat this a little chaotic because the chaos worked well for me the last time, so hopefully it'll work as well now. If it does get chaotic, I'll change my mind and we'll do it a little different. But otherwise, what I would like to do tonight is if the spirit catches you and you want to say a few things in memory of your experiences with Dick Nadel, K2RIW, Silent Key, just call out your call sign and your first name. And I'll take one or two or three people and we'll give them an opportunity. And I'll try and respond as best I can, and then we'll call for some more people. So in that spirit, again, this is AC2GS. Is there anyone out there who would like to volunteer to go first tonight?
Roy, should I go first? WB2EAV.
Yes, Ed, it might as well be you. So please.
This is going to take a minute or two, okay?
Take all the time that you want, Ed. We have a lot of time, hopefully, tonight.
All right, to those who are listening, I've been thinking about this for a while. I put in some thought. I wrote down some notes. I've known Dick Nadel for has to be almost 40 years. I've always found his depth and tremendous range of his technical knowledge on just about any subject to be just astonishing. And it was most noticeable, particularly on this repeater, when the subject was ham radio. But it also included many other subjects, some of which I know a little more about than some of the other people. But the late Lloyd Mills, WB2ZIT, once said something to me that I thought was fascinating. That once Dick put his mind to something, he would follow through and produce amazing results. For example, Lloyd told me, if Dick had decided for some reason to learn how to make pizza, in a few months, maybe a few weeks, he would offer you a slice of the best tasting pizza you'd ever had. And that was Dick. I have some other things to report. Let me let it drop. All right. Now, Dick and I both spent decades as design engineers, mostly working on military radio and radar hardware. Now, these projects, as a rule, were classified, but, you know, there are just about most classified programs do have some aspects that are unclassified, and those can be discussed. On the other hand, Dick was usually reticent to talk about his work. Maybe that was just the way he was. Maybe it was security concerns. Nonetheless, I had a pretty good idea of what he was working on, because intentionally or otherwise, Dick would leave clues. And we've all heard of naturalists tracking wild animals by looking at signs like broken twigs on branches, on bushes. If you know what to look for, you can follow the trail pretty well. You can follow these clues. And based on this, I can say something Dick never really played up. Dick was a true patriot. No, he never carried a rifle into combat. But our nation's military air crews continue to this day to depend on him and those like him with their very lives. And that's where Dick was. Let me drop a sec. Now, Dick worked for Airborne Instruments, AIL, for decades. Now, their biggest program was the B-1B Lancer Bombers Avionics Package. Now, we all know Dick loved antennas. Antennas were his specialty. He knew more about antennas than just about anybody I've ever met. But the interesting thing about the B-1 is it's a stealthy aircraft, and antennas on a stealth aircraft are some of the most difficult design challenges there are. Now, isn't that exactly the kind of challenge that Dick should live for? Also, on occasion, Dick would mention he was familiar with high-power traveling wave tube microwave amplifiers. That was kind of out of the blue. But I knew where he was going. Back in the day, there was only one use for high-power TWT amplifiers, and that was for radar jammers. These are the things that military planes would use to keep anti-aircraft radars from shooting them down. I mean, enough on that. Let me let it drop it off the jump. On a more personal level, I've always felt that I understood Dick and tried to support him. I kind of felt like Watson with Dick with Sherlock Holmes. I always felt that he had the upper hand, but I should follow behind. I could be his wingman, as it were. And Dick would often ask me about things I was working on at work, and he would just listen intently. And you could tell he was just trying to absorb the subtleties by listening. Now, some of these conversations were on this repeater, and I can only imagine the reaction of some people who were listening to us. Probably just shook their heads sadly and blinked through our teeth. But there are some things in life. No, there are a few things in life I found as satisfying as talking to Dick about some technical aspect that we could talk about as equals. And when I knew more than he did, he was the ultimate student, always asking probing, pertinent questions. I remember Dick was once supposed to attend the presentation that I gave. Now, that should change me, giving the presentation, Dick listening. How many of us have heard that? But he was a no-show. And I was crushed, and I was just devastated. I realized why. I was so looking forward to him grilling me mercilessly. And to me, there would be nothing better than holding my own against K2RIW. I've been in awe of him for 40 years, and I'm beyond proud that he considered me a friend. He is a part of what I am, and I will never forget him. Over to Roy.
Thank you very much, Ed. That was a great remembrance that you offered us of Dick. Dick loved to discuss technology. He loved puzzles. People who listened to the last few years of the Technical Net no doubt noticed that I would provide some puzzles, and Dick loved them more than anyone else. If I mentioned in an email that I had three puzzles, but I was going to use one that Sunday and save the other for the following weeks because they were kind of difficult to come up with, he would announce that I have three puzzles, and he wanted his three puzzles. And it was a joy and a privilege to kind of give him these puzzlers and watch, listen, as he kind of turned it around in his mind. And sometimes he just came out completely with the right answer within seconds and kind of shortened the whole experience. Other times he took it apart and put it together and tried to make it fit, and it was a wonderful experience. And one of the things about Dick, when I would go off and on about relativity and quantum mechanics, he would kind of ask me the most novel, interesting questions that required me to think on my feet. And that was very, very useful to me, and I hope it helped other people. So that's just one of many things we can say in memory of Dick K2RIW. Once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am net control operator for this radio wake for Dick Nadel, Silent Key, K2RIW. And if you have something that you would like to say, some memory of how Dick kind of touched you and you came away a little bit smarter, a little bit wiser, please give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, your signal's about 60% noise. I think it's your N2RDB. Tim, is there any way you could boost your signal? Because it's very, very noisy. Any way you could move the antenna if it's a rubber ducky or something, or kick the gain up on the transmitter? Okay, that's much better. There was a little noise at the very, very end, but much better than before. I'm sorry, Tim. It's still noise. Unless you have a better position to put yourself in, or if you want to try, we have Echo Link available. There's different modes. But that entire transmission was all noise, unfortunately.
Forget it. N2RDB out.
I'm sorry, Tim. I just want people to hear you. Maybe you try a little bit later. Your reception kind of comes and goes for some strange reason. I heard that last transmission perfectly, but the one before was just all noise, unfortunately, so I'm sorry. Again, this is AC2GS. If anyone out there would like to say a few words in memory of Dick Nadel, K2RIW, please give me your call sign and your first name.
I love Dick. I love Dick. I love you, Dick.
Okay, this is KD2FIU. George, can I come in, Roy?
Yes, indeed, George. Please do.
Yeah, one of the few respectful things I want to say tonight, and I'll bring some on later. About Dick, it's like, who among us would make such a commitment for 30-plus years every Sunday night at 8 o'clock to want to take on the challenge, share the knowledge, to fill people's minds and hearts with what he did with the TechNet? I started listening to it about 7 years ago, and it did not, there was no flaw. There was no change. So I respectfully submit to everybody, who has the strength to do that? He did it. He did it for his joy, and he did it for us. That was K2RIW.
Thank you very much, George. I absolutely positively agree. Dick kept this technical net alive for 38 years. He started in 1982 with another amateur radio operator who still operates in Queens. That gentleman had to leave the net, and Mel, K2KEY, took his place, and Mel passed on, and John KC2WGB came onto the technical net. But through it all, Dick was there every Sunday night at 8 p.m. like clockwork. I don't know if he ever took a vacation, possibly in the earlier years, but certainly not in the 9 years that I listened to the technical net. When I first got my license, I asked around, who do you go to get advice? Who do you get suggestions from? And pretty much, thankfully, people told me, you listen to the Limark technical net. I had a ICOM 92AD handy talkie, and I turned it on Sunday night, and I listened to my first technical net, and I've been listening every Sunday thereafter. I had terrible antennas, so I couldn't really transmit. I would send Dick the occasional email, and I would occasionally mention that I was a member of the Peanut Gallery. And he would kind of rejoice at that because he knew where that term came from and shared his memories of watching that television show when he was younger. So it's an incredible commitment that Dick did. 38 years. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. is amazing, and he didn't do it for fame, he didn't do it for glory, and he certainly didn't do it for money. He did it because he loved amateur radio so much, and he loved talking about it to other people, teaching other people about it, learning from them other things about it, and that's the payment that I think Dick got. So if anyone else would like to say a few words in memory of Dick Nadel, K2RIW, Silent Key, passed away April 26th, please give me your first name and your call sign.
WS2N.
Yes, Paul.
Bunch of courtesy tones. Did you turn it over to me, Roy?
Yes, I did.
Very good. Well, yeah. And that the first station that came on was talking about Lloyd, WB2ZIT. And he was another great guy to listen to. And he was on with Dick quite a bit. You know, he did the Sunday night nets, and then he would go on to the off-field repeater, and I think it was Tuesday nights they would have another tech net. And this was, so it was, at some point it was like two nets in 1 week. And not that it mattered. You know, you could go get on the air at any time, put out your call sign, and if it came back to you, whatever time of day or night it was, mostly night, it would turn into a bit of a tech net. So it was terrific. Learned a lot just by listening to him. I figured, well, I'm not going to learn everything, but if I could just you know, pick up this here and this there, you know, I'm going to be a lot better off. And to this day, I've got the inverse square law down pat. But I'll talk more later about Dick. But back to you, Roy. Terrific guy, K2RIW. WS2N.
Thank you very much, Paul. Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't in the hobby back then, and I wasn't really a shortwave listener at that time. I was a shortwave listener in the 60s and the early 70s, but then school and medicine and all kinds of things got ahead of that, and so I put those things away for a few decades. But I used to regularly listen. Dick had this ongoing conversation with Steve, KA2YHY. Steve would be commuting back and forth from his work at the college lab, and Dick would get on the UHF repeater, and it used to be lots of fun listening to the conversations those two had. I gimmicked up my system to record them, and I played them back later in the day when I was back at home. And it was an education and a half almost every single time those two got together and had a conversation. It was great. I remember some of the very, very long conversations that Dick had with John, KC2WGB. Those guys, as I said before, would go on until about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then, you know, you turn on the radio and 10 o'clock in the morning, they're talking again. So I used to joke with both John and Dick that you guys don't sleep. You're just always awake. I'm sure they found some time to sleep, but they livened up the airwaves of this repeater more than most of the people that I have heard since, unfortunately. I wish back for the good old days of when the night time was filled with repeater conversations. Now we unfortunately turn them off, but those were great memories. Once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am net control operator for this little experiment, which we call a radio wake. It's in memory of a great man. Dick Nadel, K2RIW, a silent key on April 26th. And if you would like to reminisce about some stories that you know about Dick and experiences you had with Dick, there are many people who got antenna seminars in the middle of the night during field days. He would go to all kinds of clubs and sit down around the fire and discourse on one of his favorite topics, antennas. So if any of you guys have some stories, please give me your first name and your call sign. Yes, Freddie. There's someone else, unfortunately, who's all noise. If you can move your antenna around or boost up the power or try going through EchoLink, whatever works for you, right now you're all power. But, Freddie, you want to say something?
Oh, yes, sir. Roger.
Please go ahead, Freddie.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to Dick for 30 years, ever since I lived in the city. Like when I came from the city, and I moved to the Bronx, I've been listening to him. And then when I came to Far Rockaway, for 10 years ago, I still listening to him. Yeah, he taught me a lot. And I got my, what you call it, my general license. I went on to join the Silver Air Patrol. Because I know he worked for the space program and he's interested in rocketry. So I joined the Silver Air Patrol. Yeah, he was a good guy, a good man, a fair man. And may God bless his soul. Yeah, I miss him out there every Sunday. This is KB2 at VBN in Far Rockaway. That's an older man.
Okay, thank you very much, Freddie. Dick, I don't know if Dick directly worked on the space program. He did work on the B-1 bomber, and he mentioned that more than a few times on the technical net. He is somewhat famous in that he was able to pick up signals of the Apollo mission astronauts circling the moon and on the moon and such, and he was able to actually record the transmissions, and he wrote an article in QST on that very subject. And apparently a few people at NASA were not particularly happy because they had considered it to be an obviously a secure channel, since who would be smart enough to figure out how the hell to do that without a couple of million dollars of federal tax funds. But Dick did, and he published his experience, and he told it more than a few times, I'm sure, on the technical net. I've always enjoyed hearing bits and pieces of it. So I think that's his primary space science exposure, through him kind of tapping into their phone line and listening in.
Yeah, my wife really misses her Sunday night Dick.
It's a shame. It's a shame what goes on with some people's lives, the pointlessness of it all. Anyway, this is AC2GS. I am Roy. I am net control operator for this radio wake in memory of a great man, K2RIW, Dick, who was the host of the Limark Technical Net from 1982 to this very year. He was awarded a ARRL Technical Achievement Award. You'll see on the club's website is a photograph. That is a cropped photograph of him receiving his award from the executives of the ARRL, which I'm sure he was very pleased and proud to do that. And he was a great man, and he shall be missed. But we will remember him, and hopefully we will take the knowledge and the experiences that we've gained through knowing him on to future generations of amateur radio operators, and pass that knowledge forward. We're all just standing on the shoulders of giants. The giants may leave, but we have to continue to do what they set us in motion to do. So in that spirit, this again is AC2GS, Roy, and if anyone out there who has a license and a call sign would like to make a comment about Dick, K2RIW, please feel free, give me your first name and your call sign.
Good evening. It's Bill. Delta B2QGZ.
Yes, Bill.
Hey, good evening. So I miss Dick terribly. He has been a part of all of our lives, really, for 38 years, for the most part, for many of us, for our entire amateur careers. And, kind of like other folks have said, like clockwork, man, if you turn your radio on at 8:02, there he was. And I first met Dick on the air probably in the early 80s up on the 432 for a VHF contest. And it was Sunday in the morning, kind of early-ish, and however many people were on, we had all worked them all, so we spent quite a while chatting about what he did, what I did, and stuff like that. And we had a little bit in common, and didn't really speak to him again, I don't think, until, I had a bunch of misbehaving traveling wave tubes, and I looked to him for some advice. And, the way he thought at the time, and he didn't say it, but he kind of, I figured it out later on. He really led me to the answer on my own, but he wanted to be sure that I had a solid understanding of how the tube worked. So it would have been real easy to say, hey, do this, and you get what you want, but it took a little bit more work, but it ultimately was much better for me to be directed to it and figure out what it was, and that's kind of the guy he was, I mean, if you really said, hey, I want a quick answer, he'd whip it on you and like that. But he really wanted to impart that knowledge. That was the thing. You mentioned with I think KE2YHY and Dick and the 440. And I used to listen to them all the time, and that was just great. The knowledge you could pick up just sitting on the side. A lot of Ed's comments really, I identified with. The Simplex channel Dick used to occasionally listen to in the mornings and the late evenings, so I'm gonna let it drop. And a lot of times when I was out of work, I'd be on midnights or whatever, and I'd surface up over there, and man, there he was, and you want to know, hey, what are you working on, and how does that work? And it was one of the few times I had knowledge on a day-to-day basis of cellular networks and stuff, and he was always very interested in that, and it was fun to share what I knew, and he always shared what he knew. We ended up doing some tower work up on the tower up in the back of the house there, and during some of that construction, man, everything we worked on, he always taught me something. And we talked about forces on the tower and guying and why we guy it, where we guy it, and where that weight sits, and how the torque and the torsion goes. And it was really, really all just incredible information that you'd be hard-pressed to find coming from a single person. Later on, I had an issue where we were trying to make some pretty fancy noise floor measurements, and they were really almost outside the scope or ability of the test equipment we had, and really some of the instructions we had from up in our lab were a little, they weren't exactly right. And I reached out to Dick. I said, hey, I'm not getting the readings we should be getting, even within an order of magnitude. And he said, well, let me come out and have a look, and we'll let it drop. And that was the beginning of my journey into understanding noise floor and noise power specifically. And it's a little bit of a challenging concept. And you have to hear it a lot of times, and you have to work with it a lot. But I think I have a pretty solid understanding of a lot of that. And that's all from Dick and just Dick's patience. Later on, when he was involved in the prototyping of some cellular test equipment, and I worked with him a little bit on that project, and that was an incredible amount of fun as well, because I was experiencing the problem at work that he was trying to solve. So I could find him components that failed and components that passed and filters and stuff that he needed to do his experiments. And from the understanding of noise power and noise power bandwidth and all of that helped me understand what he was working on. And really, it was pretty slick. He used to come around to Great South Bay in the early morning hours on field day on Sunday. And we'd always have something to talk about. Remember one Sunday morning, I wasn't quite sure how this one specific Rhodius Schwarz direction finding antenna I had worked. And I knew how one of them worked, the higher frequency one. I wasn't sure how the lower frequency one worked. Let me let it drop. And he kind of gave me the famous, well, let's just take it apart and have a look. You know, and I have this multi-thousand-dollar antenna, and it's kind of like, you know, there's no scorpions in there with a year's supply of food. So I was kind of like, what could possibly go wrong? We took it apart, we figured it out, man. He explained to me how it works forwards, backwards, and inside out, and I got it. And filed that away, and that's helped me a number of times just when I had concepts from there. And, you know, everything that I got from him really has made me the person I am today in my career. Again, there's no one person, I don't think, besides him that has that sphere of knowledge that encompasses all this stuff and the ability to deliver it and make it understandable and reinforce it and guide you to the answer. And, you know, kind of like Ed said, Dick's a pretty important part of my life as well. And, again, I'm going to miss him quite a bit. And maybe I'll think of some more later on as we go on. Back to Net, WB2QGZ.
I can't believe he's gone.
Thank you very much, Bill. Yeah, Dick really believed in the Socratic method. You know, it's something that's used in medicine all the time to train medical students and interns and residents. And he used to apply it weekly on the Sunday technical net or on the repeaters in the middle of the week. You know, if, as you mentioned, if you needed the answer, he would give you the answer. But he enjoyed much more taking you on a journey where you get more than just the answer out of it. You get a deeper understanding of how the answer was gotten. So that's one of the many things that I appreciate about Dick. He was the most curious man that I knew. And that's the greatest gift that a person can have, the curiosity, the intellectual interest in knowing why things are the way they are. He never took it as a given. He always wanted to understand why, and he wanted to teach other people and explain to other people why. And the man was never annoyed by anyone. People who would not understand what he was trying to explain, he would simply restate it a different way. But I can't offhand recall any time that Dick was annoyed with anyone during those. He reveled in the challenge and the opportunity to take us down that little journey and offer us a little bit of additional knowledge and understanding. So that's one of my little memories. I am AC2GS, and if you would like to share your memories and you have a call sign and you have a first name, please push the talk button.
And to RVP.
Yes.
Evening. I wouldn't say anything. I would listen to the net on Sunday night. I don't know Dick that well. I never met the man. Maybe I did. I don't remember ever meeting him. But he would go from every aspect of any. It could be from electronics to astronomy to biology, whatever. He was so knowledgeable. I mean, every gamut, A to Z, he knew his stuff very well.
Someone's throwing out a lot of noise out there. Any other things that you'd like to say about Dick tonight?
Lou, NY2H.
Yes, Lou.
Yeah, he was quite versatile. There are a number of things along the way that he would talk about. I remember when he would talk about the problem in Bayville where you had people who were complaining about cell phone radiation and potential health effects that they perceived. And he actually presented expert testimony. He incurred the wrath of a lot of these conspiratorialists, if you will. And but he was a man of truth and science, and he presented the facts. Let me let it drop. Yeah, are you copying me okay? I know I'm getting a lot of noise on the tail.
Yeah, you're coming along fine. It's only when you drop out that background noise is a problem.
Okay. I remember he would do his own work on his oil. Burner unit. Out of it. So he always investigated things, and I guess well, but he'd be on top of things like that. I remember with his automobile, he'd use a single grade oil because it wouldn't sludge up, and that was against recommendations. But it worked for him. Let it drop. He did an analysis on red light cameras and the timing and how some of the timing was physically impossible. It would be an entrapment. The yellow light wouldn't be on long enough, and you had to either stop at a very large deceleration rate or barrel through it or whatever. And he kind of showed how it was engineered improperly, and I think he was in contact with Newsday about that. Again, it's hard to be very intelligent amongst the the rest of the populace. Let me let it drop. People have talked about his curiosity as well as his versatility, and he was a sponge first, I guess, before he would share what he had with the rest of us, and he was always curious. I remember his first meeting with another ham. Now, this other ham had a condition. It's called strabismus, and it's where your two eyes aren't centered directly in one direction, but one may go off to the side or something like that. Now, I think Dick had a little bit of Sheldon in him from the Big Bang Theory, and normally when you'd meet somebody with some condition like that, you wouldn't bring it up right away or broach the subject. Just from, I guess, an interpersonal point of view. But Dick was very curious, and he got right into it. He goes, oh, I noticed, blah, 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 you have this, you know, and he asked some questions about it, et cetera, of course, increasing his knowledge. So he was immensely curious to the point where he might even jump a social norm just to get that knowledge. That's it for now, and back to that NY2H.
Okay, thank you very much, Lou. Yeah, Dick kind of landed in interesting places. He was a champion for the fact that radio waves are non-ionizing. At most, they produce local heat spots, and so are not carcinogenic and don't give people AIDS or Alzheimer's or any quite thing like that. And so he was a champion for that. He also, if you do enough YouTube looking of conspiracy theories, the ones that kind of say that the moon landing never occurred and that it was all a conspiracy, pull out footage of Dick at some place to kind of try and refute the fact that he actually heard it coming directly from the moon. So he kind of comes up in the most interesting of conspiracy theorists out there. So that's good. Red light timing, camera timing. I remember when he was discussing that. There were a lot of great things that he was working on. There was a time that he was very, very interested in magnetism, and he was going to perform experiments to align a piece of iron rod in parallel to the Earth's magnetic field and introduce a little shock wave to it to see if he could induce a permanent magnetic quality to it. I don't think he ever got around to that, unfortunately, but he had a fertile mind, he had a curious mind, and that's a very effective combination. So once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am net control operator for this radio wake in memory of Dick, K2RIW, who's a silent key. And if you have any memory or stories to tell of Dick and how Dick affected your love of the hobby or interests and other things, please feel free. Give us your call sign and your first name, please.
All right, I'll land by 2 cents, or 3 cents,
W-A-T-C-D-O. Okay, Andy, give it a go.
Yeah, I guess I can write a book about my experiences with Dick over the years. As most people know, I too am a curious guy. And if it wasn't for my curiosity, I would not be doing the tune-up table that I've been doing for Limewalk for all these years. And I started in the early 80s. And because when I saw other people doing it and I had the experience, I said, I could do that. And sure enough, I was given the opportunity to run a tune-up table, and I did. But it even goes back further than that, because I got into amateur radio for one reason, to experiment, to learn, to build. And Dick was a builder, just like myself. I've built many things over the years, and I've always admired Dick for his knowledge in building and designing. I don't know if you guys know, Dick built and was also published a 1 kilowatt strip line amplifier that was popular with the amateur TVers, ATV, which I got into myself. Although I never had his amplifier per se, there was an article on how to build it in, I believe, at the Ham Radio Handbook. Going back, I think he built this in the 70s. By the way, as an interesting footnote, Dick worked for AIL, and so did I. I had a 2-year stint in the microwave section where I worked on the B1 Bomber microwave amplifiers doing network analysis back in the early 80s. And our facility was in Melville. And interestingly enough, in Melville is where the anechoic chamber was located where they tested all the antennas. Although I never actually saw Dick, I believe, yeah, he was working at AIL when I was working at AIL. And AIL at that time was also a division of Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, Eaton Corporation. So we sort of had, some parallel things that were in common. I admired Dick, but Dick also admired me to some degree that I sensed because of my curiosity and my knowledge. Although I always looked up to Dick because of his quickness. He would always give an answer really quick. He wouldn't really have to
repeater timeout. Timeout. Cancel.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about the timer. I'm listening to myself, so you guys didn't miss anything. I heard repeated timeout. I'll keep it short. Or shorter. So we sort of admired each other. In fact, Dick was at my house not too long ago. It was back, I think it was in December of last year, or January, I think it was January of 2020, he stopped by. He gave me a spectrum analyzer, with two of them. He offered it to me, and I have it here. Interestingly enough, he was also responsible for designing this particular AIL spectrum analyzer, which weighs a ton. It requires two people to lift, but it's a bit of nostalgia. If anybody wants to see something that was built back in the 60s, this was the, I remember Dick telling me, this was the first project that he was put on when he when he finished college, when he got his BSEE degree, and he started working for AIL, he was working on a spectrum analyzer, the Altec, I think it was called Altec 707, I believe that's the number of it, which I have one, and I have, including the service manual for it. Now, let the repeater drop. All right, so I have that in my possession as a remembrance. And again, Dick was here just back in January. I think that's when he stopped by. I was at his house many years ago, back in the 80s. And I think I was there to pick up something that I needed because I myself got into amateur TV out of my own curiosity, and I think he had something that I wanted to either borrow. So that's when I met. I'm not sure if that was the first time. I'm refreshing my memory as I go along. He was at my house when I lived with my parents back in the 70s when I lived in Merrick. In fact, I sold him a radio, not that I recall. Incidentally, in regard to Dick, you know, as far as his curiosity is concerned, let the repeater drop again. If there was ever some kind of technical issue that would come up where somebody had a question, Dick would be very interested in getting involved amongst, as the people have just mentioned. And one of the things that Bill, the BB2QGZ, just came on, and it's funny because there was an issue at the Wantua or Cedar Creek Park or Flying Club where remote control planes were being interfered with and were crashing. And if Bill's here still on, you remember that, where Dick showed up, because he was interested, and I showed up, because we were all interested in finding out what's going on, what's causing these, as a possible cell site interference problem, causing planes to crash. So that was one of the last things that Dick was involved with that I remember, where he actually came to a site to check it out. And I remember also, Bill, if you're still listening, I was at your house, I believe it's in, I won't mention the name. I was at your house, and I think Dick was there too. He was talking about GPS systems and how they work, because that's an interesting field. And I remember Dick mentioning that the signal that comes from a GPS satellite is below the noise floor. And how could you receive something that's below the noise level of its own receiver? You know, talking about noise, signal to me. Okay, so Dick was involved with that. So the point is that if you had something technical to talk about or some issue that would come up, he would always be interested in it. And he was really, like everyone said, he was great to speak to. Had a lot of patience, and you would know if you were at a Limark field day, and you know that Dick was going to show up. Usually shows up late at night. You know he was there because you would hear in the background somebody talking about SWR or antennas or something technical, and you would say, "Yeah, that's Dick. There he is." So, great guy. And he will be missed. As I mentioned before, I joined Limark in the early 70s. So I go back a ways, too. I'm 67, if anybody didn't know that. And as I said, you know, I was always interested in technical things, building and doing things. Back then, if people recall, the electronics industry here on Long Island was a booming industry. There were many, many companies, Hazeltine, Fairchild, Sperry, Grumman, companies like that, military companies that built AIL, of course, that built and designed military electronics. We were sort of like the, in my opinion, what's the same as the Silicon Valley. They used to call it Silicon Alley. Silicon Valley on the West Coast was like the way we were back in the 70s. And Weimark's club back then had many, many engineers that belonged to Weimark that worked for these companies that I can actually name names. Ed WB2EAV comes on, and as you know, and I think he knows quite a few of them also. So we live in different times now. The electronics industry in Long Island is very well depleted from what it used to be. But it was great to hear some of the stories of the engineers that worked on these various projects, and Dick being one of them. I don't exactly remember the day that I met Dick or the day I spoke to him, but I'm happy that I did. Saying all this, he will be missed. And unfortunately, time moves on, and this is where.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
All right, I get the golden bagel. I timed it out twice. Sorry about that. WHCDL. Here. As I said, I can write a book. There's a lot more that I can mention. The stressed parabolic dish, which is in the ARRL antenna handbook, showing the actual dish that Dick designed for listening to the Apollo moon landing. That, amongst other articles, the pipeline amplifier, and other projects that he made from time to time. So I don't want to take up too much time talking about everything else. All right, thanks for that. Just wanted to add my little two cents. Roy, back to you. H2GS, WHCDL.
Thank you very much, Andy. Anyone and everyone can take as much time as they would like. Unfortunately, you have to keep in mind the timeout limitations of the repeater so that your words don't get cut off prematurely. Somehow, I think I've actually not overspoke, but give me some time, and no doubt I will. Dick had, at least to my knowledge, two ham radio-related inventions that are well-known. Andy mentioned the strip line amplifier. That's very well known. About 4 years ago, I got a book from Great Britain. A guy wrote a history of linear amplifiers, and sure enough, a smack dab in the middle of that book is a few pages worth of technical and other information about the K2RIW strip line amplifier. The author felt that it was a beautifully designed amplifier and functional, and had nothing but good things to say about it. Also, there was a so-called K2RIW antenna that was sold under Dick's name. I think there was another person involved in the actual manufacture and distribution, but it was his design as well. So those are at least two inventions and things that he built solely for amateur radio, had nothing to do with his daytime job. And as another little aside, the one great thing about Dick, among other things, is he would never kind of joyously want to prove you wrong. If you said something semi-ridiculous, like up was down or black was white or water was dry, he would give you an almost unlimited number of get-out-of-jail cards. He would always suggest that you didn't quite mean that. You were trying to make another type of a point. So that's another thing that I always keep in mind with Dick. He didn't revel in other people's misunderstanding or lack of understanding. Again, he was there to advance knowledge in other people, and if he was lucky, get some additional knowledge himself as well. Again, I am AC2GS. This is the radio wake in memory of the great amateur radio.